It's
praise the Lord. Isn't that a great week, song? Praise God. The Lord bless those that's here tonight. And I won't try and hold you too long this evening. Sister Carl and David's arrived safely. Safely in the far off land. Praise God. But the Lord bless. Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 for our text tonight. And I want to just try and encourage you to keep on praying. I want to just talk a little bit why prayer is essential. Let's stand our feet. We're going to read two verses, verse 9 and verse 14 of Isaiah 58 tonight. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity. Verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and he will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Just let's bow our heads tonight, and if you have a need, while every head's bowed and every eye closed, just lift your hand up to the Lord, and we will remember you in prayer tonight. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for these wonderful words we've been singing in this wee song tonight. What a day it will be when my Jesus I shall see. Lord, you're the one that we look forward to seeing. And Lord, ere we see you, we pray that we'll know your presence amongst us. We ask for the presence and the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit to be in this room, that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. In Jesus' precious name, I cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination, and I pray that your word will come forth tonight. And Father, that you'll bless the hands that's raised and meet every need, Lord, in this room, and those listening in, meet every single need in every heart, every desire of your need. Father, we're asking you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to meet every need that's already been prayed. We pray for sons, our daughters, aunts, uncles, all relations and relatives. We claim them under that token. And we pray that every one of them will come in and they'll be saved in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless the service tonight and bless those that would pray. And Lord, maybe some would pray silent, bless, but just have your way. And bless Carl and David over in New Zealand. Give them a real good time, Lord, I pray. And have your way in their lives. And I pray for all tonight that's here that you bless. And Father, for those that couldn't be here, bless them. And for the backslidden, move them and speak them and restore them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. This is a tremendous scripture, isn't it? Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer thee. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, putting forth the finger on the speaking vanity. And I'll tell you, too many times we talk nonsense, and that is the truth. Every one of us, I'm sure, is guilty of it. I can only say for myself, many times I say things in a week's odd and I said it, and that's the truth. But may the Lord help us to be saying the right things at the right time. May the Lord help us. And I believe here that also I want to say at the start, it must never be forgotten that Almighty God rules in this world. And though we hear about all that's going on, we must always remember Almighty God rules in this world, that ultimately he is in full control. And nothing's going to happen here or there or anywhere but what God permits. And if God doesn't permit it, it cannot and will not happen. It has to be God that permits it for it to happen. And I'll tell you, God is not absent. And maybe sometimes you feel God doesn't hear us, God's not near us, God's absent. But then we're reminded, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, though I'm with you always to the ends of the earth. And there's times when you feel the tangible presence of God, you feel great. Even preaching, there's times you feel anointed, you feel great, you're ready to take the devil on. And then there's other times you don't feel great. You're ready to take nobody on. You don't feel even like preaching or doing anything. You mightn't feel like singing or nothing. But we're all reminded tonight, the God of the mountains is still the God in the valleys. Amen. And he's with us. He's promised he'll be with us. He's not with us because we feel he's with us. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm not going on that. But he's with us because of what the Word of God says. And remember, the Word of God is our anchor. It's the thing that we're depending on tonight. He's everywhere present. And he's concerned with everything in our time. God is concerned with it. Psalms 11 and verse 4 says this. And I'm not going to be too long tonight because I want us to have time to pray. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids. I was surprised when I read this. I'd never noticed this before. I'm sure I've read it before, never thought of it, never noticed it. His eyelids try the children of man. God doesn't even need to look into the situation. His eyelids will try the children of man. Now, that was going to be a whole other subject tonight. I'm not for preaching on it because I don't know enough about it to preach on it. But I'll tell you, that's how mighty God is. God is mighty. God is seeing everything. God is knowing everything. And his temple, the Lord's throne, is in heaven. And I'm not just talking about the blue heaven here, you see, or the second heaven, but he's in the third heaven. And I believe he's even higher than the third heaven. You say where that is, I can't explain it all, but he's as high as there is. Put it that way. You'll go no higher. And he's ruling over all, and he sees all, and he knows all. And he rules the world just as he rules the church, by prayer. And I'm going to try and show you tonight that God wants us to pray, and we must be praying. And it's God's desire that we are praying, and it's one of the great neglected weapons of the modern day church is prayer. And I believe it's been the devil that's inspired people not to pray, because it's not the Holy Spirit. It's the devil. Because if it's not the Spirit of God, it's another spirit. And there's only two spirits at work in the world. Brother Branham said two spirits at work. The Holy Spirit and the unholy spirit. The spirit of righteousness and the spirit of unrighteousness. And I'll tell you, that's the enemy, isn't it? Nothing is more important to God than prayer and dealing with people. Prayer. Just as we're in God's will when we're praying for our loved ones, we're in the will of God. We need to keep on doing it. But likewise, it's so important for people to pray. We must pray. Failure to pray is failure along the whole line of life. I believe that. I'm going to say it again. Failure to pray is failure along the whole line of life. When you weren't saved, you never prayed. Most people never prayed. Maybe some did. Most people didn't pray. But once you get saved, you come into union with your Heavenly Father through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ. And you're to pray. And even the Lord teaches us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. And there is a line, but the devil wants that line broke. He wants it broken us as individual Christians. He wants it broken churches. He wants it broken families. Prayer is so important. God answers prayer. Failure to pray is failure along the whole line of life. God must help people to pray. I believe that. It's the Lord that helps us to pray. God can bring us into seasons of special prayer. And God can move. Those who do not pray, therefore rob themselves of God's help. So when you don't pray, you rob yourself of God's help. Because when you pray, God says he'll answer you. He'll help you. But when you don't pray, now, you know, I've preached it many times. It's a message God gave me years ago, and I really enjoy it. But Abraham, one of the first prayers, God answered Abraham according to need. One of the first prayers you read in the Bible was Abraham. He petitioned God. He had no children. He wanted children. And he petitioned God, and God answered him. Now, sometimes we think God can give us a word, and we think next week then that'll happen. Now, Abraham waited 25 years. But he believed God. And I know you might say, well, I haven't got 25 years. And, well, I'm hoping myself that it won't take 25 years for me either. But I'm just telling you the Bible. But then when you look back at some of the prayers you did pray when you were a young person, or that I prayed when it first started, God's answered them tonight. But that's over 25 years ago, but it's happened. So you might think it's a long time, but yet God will do it. God will do it. Now, my own father-in-law, my father-in-law and his wife, Charlie, Sandra, Billy Patterson, that went on to be with the Lord, and his wife, there's four people, Roger Cordry and his wife, Sister Anna, Anna's still living, Roger's went on to be with the Lord, three pastors, right, and them three sisters. None of them was saved. Now Sharon's grandmother prayed for them. And she used to chum about with Big Paisley when she was younger. Sharon's grandmother, that's right. But you see, she got hungry for the Holy Ghost. And she got up on the roof space and Tick, that was Carson's nickname, her husband, because he fixed clocks. His nickname was Tick. Tick said she locked herself up in the roof space and she sought God. And the power of God come on her and they heard her praying in tongues. And God filled her with the Holy Spirit, that wee woman. And she claimed Charlie, Billy, the whole kit. And she never saw one of them saved while she was living. And did something wrong with her heart? Some wee thing? Aspirin, apparently, now they'd give you, would have cured it. She refused to take it. She said she believed God could heal her. She would not take a tablet. And she didn't take it. She died. And she prayed for them. Maybe she should have took it. Well, I don't know. But God answered her prayers. Not only did them six get saved, but they got saved on the same night. And the night they got saved, Carson gave them the tape of William Branham's testimony of the angel visiting them. And through that tape of that testimony of the angel visiting them, they come to know the Lord and they get saved. And Charlie used to preach on the streets in Yorkshire, and they used to fire bottles and glasses at him. And Roger as well was the preacher. Before Billy wasn't the preacher, Roger was the preacher. And Billy was the song leader. That's how it all started. And then Carson used to hire George Quinn to come up from Donegal. George was originally from Belfast. And he used to come up and preach down there in Glengormley. But all I'm telling you that for is to let you know, that wee woman never saw it. So you could be sitting tonight and say, well, I prayed and it seems done right away. God will work his way. He'll not work your way. And God's ways, I don't know why God will do it his way, but God will do it his way. Because his way is higher than our ways. And I prayed for things, and it looked like nothing took place. But God has a purpose for that. But don't be discouraged. God does answer prayer. Your prayer's heard. Whether you evidently see it with your eyes at the time or not, your prayer's heard. And you need to believe it. But the devil doesn't want you to believe it. He doesn't want you to believe it. Because if he can get you to start doubting when you pray that it's not been answered, you'll not want to pray. And that's his number one job, is to stop you praying and to stop the church praying. Now I want you to see the necessity of prayer. Prayer concerns God. They wrote this. Whose purpose and plans are conditioned on prayer? Purpose and plans are conditioned in prayer. His will and his glory are bound up in praying. We should be the same. Every great movement started by prayer. When you look over this country at the different movements there's been, and you can't deny it, say what you want about them tonight, they're dead and all that. That's all great. But God moved in all their movements at one point. The Lutherans had a move. Now, we know the Lutheran Church is tonight. There's nothing really in it for any of us. If it went to it, it's denominated. We know that. But yet, go back when it started, it wasn't denominated. It was a move of God. God moved, but it started with prayer. Every single movement started with prayer. And you can follow all their movements right up to Azusa Street. And you see in Azusa Street a climax of prayer. Then you see the outpouring and the gifts and ministry coming back into the body of Jesus Christ. The supernatural. And it's coming right up into a climax into the 40s and the 50s and the 60s when God sent a prophet that could discern the very secrets of men's hearts. And that wasn't done, but God done it. Climax. But it all started with prayer. Started with prayer. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube at the minute. I'm going to tell you this, and it's on recording, and I want you to listen to this. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube, and there's two boys on there. They're two serpents. And I'm not apologizing for calling that. They are two serpents. I have no witness in here of the Spirit with either two boys. Now, they're on condemning William Branham, discrediting everything they can that ever's happened around him. But go you on YouTube again, and I'll tell you who to look up. Look up Gordon Lindsay. And hear the whole story of Gordon Lindsay, who was born in 1906, who was a pastor from his 18 years of age under the call of God. And God led Gordon Lindsay to join with William Branham and be his manager. And Gordon Lindsay saw how that things could get in, because there was no history of it made. And Gordon Lindsay made notes on a history of the genuine miracles that took place in the 40s and in the 50s and the 60s. And they wrote in books, and you can read them and you can get them, but people will not want to hear that. But it's there. And Gordon Lindsay tells, just when I was listening for a while this evening, after service one night, William Branham was called outside. There's a woman dead. She was raised from the dead. Another woman died in an ambulance, raised from the dead. Healings were happening, genuine miracles and genuine healings. So you need to be careful when somebody's on ridiculing a move of God when they couldn't even lace the person's shoelaces, what they're talking about. Not the truth. It's the same with Billy Graham. I hear people ridiculing Billy Graham, but they never went over the world and seen the soul saved that Billy Graham seen saved. And I know we wouldn't agree with all Billy Graham done. I'm not denying any of that. But there's one thing I know, that a prophet of God said Billy Graham was a messenger to the Sodom. And I believe that tonight. Amen. God answers prayers. All them movements started with prayer. All them men of God that you can read about were great men of prayer. Gordon Lindsay fasted at least one day a week, waited on God from a young man of 18 years of age. And he gave up. He could have had big churches. He gave a lot of things up to do the will of God. And I tell you, them was men of God. Every move of God you can read about always starts by God bringing his children into a real place of genuine prayer. That's how it starts, prayer. God's movement to bring Israel from Egypt out of bondage had its inception in prayer. People were praying. And not only were people in praying, do you not believe tonight them children of Israel that were God's people, they were calling on the Lord to get out of there. You'd better believe they were. And God was back there, and God had a plan already made. It was made before the foundation of the world. And God knew he's going to come down on that mountain as a burning bush, and Moses is going to be intrigued. And he's going to go up there to see what's happening. And the first thing God's going to say, take your shoes off. You're in holy ground, Moses. And he's going to send him forth to the message with supernatural signs and wonders. And I'll tell you, God done it. Then we can see Hannah petition for a son. And I preached on it when we went through the book of Samuel. When Hannah petitioned, Hannah was praying. And the old priest thought she was drunk. Her lips was moving. He was hearing no noise. And he thought Hannah was drunk. But Hannah wasn't drunk. Hannah was praying. She wasn't praying loud enough for him to know what she's praying. But he could see her lips moving. He thought she was intoxicated. But just praying to the Lord. Then God showed him. Hannah's petition in God. Hannah wants a son. And God answered Hannah. Praying women whose prayers like those of Hannah can give men like Samuel to the cause of God. And Hannah loaned Samuel unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And I love that verse. It's a special verse. She loaned him unto the Lord. And I'll tell you something. There's no man in the Bible. Samuel was a special prophet. Because the Bible says not one word of Samuel fell to the ground. And it says there was no light in the days of Samuel, but Samuel came alight. And I'll tell you, Samuel was a special prophet of God. But Samuel started because his mother prayed. His mother prayed. There's so many women that should be more preached about it. Some wonderful women. Another woman, if you ever read her life story, Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley was something special, I'll tell you that right now. She was some woman. Susanna Wesley. And I haven't time to go into it. Maybe I should preach a sermon all about the women of God. There's so many of them. All through the history that's been used because they were prayer warriors. And I'll tell you, the cause of God, the church, and the world, and everything, we don't need better politicians or better churches or better buildings. We need better praying. That's what we need. Now, we thank God for all these other things, but we need praying. Those born of prayer are the saviors of the country. Do you realize that? Those born of prayer are the saviors of the country. You know, England tonight, what England's lost for is prayer. That's why people's coming in and taking over. And you go and preach in the streets, they want to arrest you. But yet you can, the Muslims can do with more or less whatever they want to do. We need men and women of prayer. Here's the same. There's people that already got in trouble here on the streets. Those saturated with prayer give the life and impetus to the church under God. They are helpers of both church and country. But it's prayer first. Now look at Acts 6, 3 to 4. We know these scriptures. But I just want you to read and see them again. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I tell you, that's it. When the true church is in the condition of prayer, God's cause always flourishes and his kingdom on earth always triumphs. But it starts with prayer. Praying saints are God's agents for carrying on the salvation and the work of God on this earth. They're God's agents, praying saints. Prayer cannot be secondary. I've wrote this. Prayer cannot be secondary. Prayer cannot be retired as a secondary phase in this world. There should be prayer ministry in every fellowship. The whole fellowship should be a part of it. Not just a few, the whole fellowship. I thank the Lord for everyone that's here tonight. But I believe more effort. Now, I'm not talking about here, but I believe the whole fellowship should be a praying fellowship. And I tell you, people say, well, I couldn't get because of this or that. I'll tell you what. There's things in the world we won't miss. Appointments and things. No matter what happens, we'll not miss it. But the prayer meeting seems to be missed. Gets the back seat. Prayer is a sense of God's need. And the call for God's help, that's what it's for, to supply the need. We're praying because we're conscious that we need God. That's why we're praying. And we're also conscious that God will meet the need. See, we're in the age for Revelations talks about that I've needed nothing. That's Laodicea. Laodicea is the age where they're saying, I don't need a thing. I don't need the prayer meeting. Our pastor never attends. We have moved on. We don't need the prayer meeting. Well, I'll tell you what. That's what Revelation's classes is wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and doesn't know it. We will need prayer while we're here. We will need prayer. We will need prayer meetings. To give prayer to secondary places and make God secondary in his life's, in our life's affairs. To substitute other forces for prayer. Retire God's material. It's the whole movement needs prayer. When I talk about the whole movement, I'm talking about God's work. Praying is an absolute necessary. To the proper carrying on of God's work, we need prayer. God has made it so. This must have been the principal reason why the early church, when the complaint that the widows and certain believers had been neglected in the daily administration, and we've read it, but we're going to read it again. Benefactor, the 12 called the disciples together. They called them together. And here's what they said, Acts 6. Let's read from 1 to verse 4 again. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer unto the ministry of the word of God. When I read of men of God from years back that God used, they spent their time praying and studying the word of God. They didn't do that for a week or a month. They did it continually, continually, continually. They were on a mission. And it was God's mission. The apostles depended on prayer. Wrote this in the notes and I'm near finished. The apostles were dependent on prayer as other people were. They needed prayer. Too busy to pray causes many Christians to backslide. Too busy to pray. My father said when he backslid, his prayer life went. 18 years he was backslid. 18 years is a long time. He says he still read the Bible. He still had the Bible in his bed. He still read the Bible. I remember him reading it as a lad. I can remember him reading the Bible. But I never remember him praying. Until I got saved and God called me. And I come home and out of jail and in the living room. And we had a prayer meeting. And I never knew my father could pray the way I heard him praying. And I had never heard praying the way he prayed. I'd never heard praying like that. And I tell you, we had great prayer meetings and times of prayer. And you think of for 18 years, we didn't have that. We didn't grow up with that. We were sent to Sunday school and the church forced to go. Our parents never went. They sat at home. And we were forced to go. And we didn't want to go. And then we're told one thing there and we saw a different thing at home. But I thank God for God's grace. When he got a hold of my dad and restored him. And we had prayer meetings. I'm telling you. And when the friends that used to come, they all soon disappeared. But no bother at all getting rid of them. If you get yourself in touch with God, you'll have no bother getting rid of the wrong boys. They'll not come near you. I'll guarantee you that. They'll think you're just went off a bit. But I'm telling you what. I'd rather have God than all of it. Amen. Prayer. And he said he lost the prayer life. He lost the prayer life. But thank God he regained the prayer life. You know, when we used to be in the wee Tonic Moor school and right through for many years, many, many years, and I can tell you, my dad's not here tonight, he's in glory. There's a big forest near Dromore called Gilhall. At the back of it, there's a tree. I could take you till it tonight. Me and my dad used to go there almost every single Sunday. And I would go to one tree and he went to the other tree. And we would spend time waiting on God, praying. Now you think of that. Think of that from he's sitting at the beer, drinking with the walking fag, as you call them. And that was every Friday and Saturday night. There they were. The pipe going, the beer going. Now all of a sudden, I've been in the wrong company, come out of jail. God's called me. God spoke to me and changed me. And we're having prayer meetings. And we're going out to field. We're waiting on God. No, but no bother getting rid of him. I'm going to tell you, there's a man in this country that I used to chum with. He was a bad boy. And when he seen me, he used to hide. He didn't want to see me no more when I could see him and serve the Lord. And I met him one night. And he still tried to hide, but I got a hold of him. And he says, Tommy, I was hiding from you because I knew you'd tell me about God. And he says, I'll be honest with you, I'd love to be able to live it, but I can't live it. I've tried it, and I can't do it. And 2 nights before he was shot dead, there's another man I knew that he vowed that he would do away with. But that man met him, both coming out of the same church. And he prayed for him on the street in Lurgan. Prayed for him. and that big fella got saved as well. I'm telling you, he was a wild boy. I could tell you things tonight, what that boy done. I'm telling you now, and if you were sending the police to lift him, you'd make sure one or two, you'd be wasting your time. That's the type of boy he was. God saved him. Another other boy with all big plans what he would do with him, but that man got saved. And he's still here, and the other man's not. God hears your prayers. And you might think, the Lord's not moving in our meetings, and the Lord's not moving in this, and the Lord's not moving in that. You see that type of language, Rom? You're saying God's not with you then. God is with you. We need to be positive. I'm not deterred at all. There was more here last week than there is tonight. Not making no difference to me. If God doesn't bring them, I can't bring them. But God's in control. And it's God's work. It's not my work. It's not your work either. It's God's work. And God will do it. And God can do it. God says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell and pray against it. Nothing is well done without prayer. Nothing. For the simple reason this leaves God out of the account, doesn't it? When you leave the prayer out, you're saying, God, we don't need you. It's so easy to be seduced by the good to neglect the best. You hear what I'm telling you? So easy to be seduced by the good to neglect the best until both the good and the best perish. I know of works of God, and I was in them. I was in a big church in a country. I'll not say where it was. A big church, over 1,000 people. And I tell you, God moved in them meetings when they started. Moved in a powerful way. And they started humble. But see, when they got up, some of the preachers come to the pulpit with their chests out. And they had the real thing, you know. They had it. And there's other wee boys that are only down on the ground here. They didn't have much. They couldn't see the mighty things we see. And they got so much up and knew so much, they didn't need the prayer meeting no more. God had moved them on from them things. The prayer meeting stopped and the gifts of the Holy Spirit stopped. And the move that they once had stopped. Now everything was still looking good and functioning along. And everybody was going along with the flow. But the presence of God wasn't there. Because they neglected that one thing was prayer. And they become full of themselves instead of full of the Holy Ghost. May God fill us with the Holy Spirit. May we never be full of our own selves. What use is it? We need full of God. May God bring us to the platform trembling, knowing that we need Him. And then God can do something. Colossians, and I'm closing. Colossians 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect, complete, and all the will of God. Here's my last scripture, Romans 12 and 12. And I had more stuff I could, but I didn't want to get too much. It probably took too long anyhow. Romans 12 and 12. Rejoice in hope, peace in the tribulation. Continue, instant, in prayer. I'll tell you, prayer's a thing. Prayer's a thing. May God help every one of us to pray. And I would love that God would bring us into a season of prayer. Prayer. Let's come and let's pray tonight. And I appreciate everyone that does pray. And I'm saying these things to encourage you to keep on praying. I thank God for every prayer He's answered. May the Lord continue. Let's bow our heads and let's come for a time and pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that we have such a privilege that we can come from Your footstool into Your very throne room and into Your very presence by the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we can enter in boldly because You're our high priest tonight. You're touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Lord, there's nothing in ourselves that we could muster up or boast of. But our boast is in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, You're the one that we've come to praise and worship. You're the one that we've come to magnify and give all the glory. Lord, many of us were in the dung heap, but you lifted us up out and you've set our feet on the rock tonight. Lord Jesus, if you could do it for us, you could do it for others. We're asking you for a move. Lord, that you'll move in your own people first. Bring a mighty presence and time of prayer upon your people, O God, that will seek you in a special way. Lord, an intercessory will go forth. Lord, we have loved ones we want to see saved. We want to see them delivered from the hand of the enemy. We need you to break through in all your risen power in these meetings, Lord Jesus. But, oh God, speak to your own people tonight, I pray. Speak to the brother, the sister. Lord, move upon them, I pray, this evening. Strive with every one of us, Lord, I pray. And help us to seek you and seek your life. Help us to pray more, Lord. Help us to give earnest prayer time that will seek your face. For we know time spent in prayer is not time wasted, but time gained. Help us, Lord Jesus, to redeem the time. Father, I pray you'll bless everyone in this house tonight, everyone that will hear this message. Lord, for the young people, bless them, strengthen them, and just be with each one of us at this time. Lord, there's not one thing that we can boast of. We owe everything to you, Lord Jesus. Your life, your peace, your health, your strength, the very breath we breathe, you hold it tonight, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just worship you and praise you. Bless your people this evening, for your own people, Israel. Bless them and strengthen them. We see, Lord Jesus, and know that the enemy's against them. Politicians, even in this country, against them. But Lord, who can be against what you're for? Those that bless you, I'll bless. Those that curse you, I'll curse. And Lord, that word is still the truth tonight. We bless Israel. And we bless your own people in this house. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless all the nurses and the doctors and those in authority. Give them wisdom and guidance, we pray. And have your way in the meetings for all the services that lay ahead. Father, just have your way. And for all the young people, bless them at work and school and help them, Lord, I pray, and just be with them. And Lord, you know those of us with children that's not saved. Lord, our hearts long to see them saved and delivered. I plead your blood upon them tonight. Father, bless the remainder of this service tonight. Bless and strengthen. Lord, if there's someone here with a special need tonight, Lord, I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll meet their need and answer their prayer. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Let's just continue to seek the Lord.